Get stuff out of here. Love is in the air, Northeast Ohio. So I lay right down Euclid. Throw the hammer down. Cleveland, this is for you.
What's up, visitors? This is Nathan Beatley, site expert of King James Gospel, and this is our inaugural King James Gossip podcast. This week, we'll be going over two hot topics related to the Cavs-Warriors Christmas Day game, how many Cavs should be an All-Star, and then we'll also do a couple other segments towards the end. But to start, we're going to introduce our two guys. This is Jared Hesketh,
one of our site contributors.
And this is Kyle Hesketh, his brother, another site contributor.
How's it going, boys?
All right, now, before we get started, we're going to go over last week, what happened with the Cavs. We had a 9-point win over L.A., a 9-point win over Utah, 7-point win over Washington. Then we ended 3-1 with a 3-point loss in a what was a raging comeback by Cleveland, 119-116. The Cavs are 23-8 and 2.5 games behind Boston in the East. What do you boys take away from this week?
Well, in the win over L.A., I was actually pleasantly surprised with Lonzo Ball, one. Two, Kyle Kuzma is going to be a star in this league. That's for sure. Cavs played really well. We shot 50% from the field, 41.7 from three. LeBron struggled shooting. He still had a great night, 25-point triple-double. Love had a double-double with 28 points, 11 boards. And Jose Calderon, man of the night. 17 points, 5 for 8 from 3. Phenomenal game.
Yeah, I was at that game. I was expecting the Cavs to win. I think our defense slipped a little bit, but we came out the dub. Calderon played great. Love played great. LeBron, for his standards, played okay, but it was still an amazing game. Yeah, defense slipped, but we pulled it out.
I think the one thing that I was impressed in throughout the four games was our offense. Man, put up 116, 106, 109, 121. They've been lights out, just killing it.
Yeah, offense is never really the problem with this team. It's just the defense. And but when we're locked in, but when we're locked in on defense, we're really, really good.
It's just sometimes, I mean, the course of an 82-game season with a lot of vets that know that this team's making the playoffs anyway.
Right.
All right. Well, there's our recaps for this week. We're going to already head on to our first hot topic. And our hot topic is, what are we going to expect with our Warriors-Cavs? First game of the season, Christmas Day primetime game. I think it's on ABC. What are you guys expecting?
Go ahead, Jared.
I'll go first. All right. So the reports have been saying that Steph will not play.
Yep. No Steph for game one. And, actually, Draymond should be a go.
Yeah,
I know that doesn't mean much to Kyle, but Draymond should be a go.
His shoulder has been like bothering him recently, but he's expected back Friday or Saturday. There's been some complicated reports about IT that he won't show, but I've seen some reports that he might be back. I don't know. I'll just say he's not going to be there. What I'm looking forward to in this game is, with all those people out, I want to see a LeBron versus KD showdown.
Yes.
I want to see them guard each other, but I'm not sure if LeBron will guard KD.
I think Cavs, with Jay Crowder in, you're not really expecting. But I'm with you. That is my number one expectation.
Yeah.
Just give me James and Durant fourth quarter, baby.
Oh, yeah. For the Cavs to win, though, I'm going to have to see Love and JR play big. JR has been inconsistent throughout the season, and when he plays the Warriors, he hasn't always played the best. Love, he's playing center, so
he definitely has a favorable matchup against Zaza.
If Pachulia's on him, Love's going to have to – he's going to stretch the floor. He's going to have a big game, and I expect a big game out of Love. His confidence has been very high, and he's just been riding it, and he's been playing really well. I'm excited to see how Crowder plays. And who he guards, whether it's KD or Draymond. And then
I think a lot of it's just going to be our shooter shooting, too.
Right.
Like, that's what was wrong with the Bucks game. I'm not sure what we went from three, but I know that I think LeBron led the way, and Korver may not have even hit a three.
From three, we shot 39% from three.
This team is unguardable if Korver, Crowder, and Smith had at least three threes.
For sure.
Like, literally unguardable.
Yeah. So, I'm really excited to see how Crowder plays because when he does good, the Cavs usually do good. He's one of the X factors, as Nathan has written an article about.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Game was dog.
And yeah, that's it. I expect a good game. I don't know if it's gonna be high. I expect high scoring. The Warriors' defense is good. Oh, and most importantly, I want to see how our bench does against the Warriors' bench because they're both really good, and our bench has not been good past few years, and now we have one of the best in the league, so I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I don't expect IT to be back, like you said, Jared. That just doesn't seem like a game he'd come back for, especially if Steph's out. There's really no point to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
I do expect LeBron and KD to guard each other a lot. I feel like LeBron's going
to
take that. I know,
shy away from that.
But I feel like LeBron's going to take that challenge because of what KD's been saying. Like, oh, LeBron passed me the torch when I hit that shot over him. I feel like LeBron's going to take that challenge to heart.
And I think the other thing, I didn't even think of that, but the other thing that's happened throughout the season is you've seen LeBron defensively take the best player.
Right.
Especially with Atlanta, where he took Schroeder.
When the Cavs were down and he took Schroeder, even though he's like 7 inches and like 100 pounds heavier than Schroeder.
Yeah,
and he took Porzingis late game.
Against the Clippers, he took Blake and he shut Blake down.
Exactly. So I'm saying if this comes into the fourth quarter, it's a James Durant showdown.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And if Draymond is out, man, I there's no reason that Love shouldn't be able to take Zaza or JaVale. If he doesn't win that matchup, bro, yes, he should have one. And our bench, like, Jared, you were talking about the bench. I think our bench is still better than them. Like, we have a better bench with how they've been playing so far.
Overall, I would say so. But the Warriors with their offense.
Well, right. I mean, they have a great bench. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
In terms of JR, if he usually gets up for games like these, and he does a pretty good job of guarding Klay Thompson. But if he starts to shoot bad in that game, I don't know. I feel like Klay might be able to go off. But I do expect JR to have a good game and show up at least to guard Klay. If he doesn't, we're getting torched.
He's been inconsistent against the Warriors
right
throughout the season, but he's been playing good as of late. So I'm excited to see how he does against Klay.
Kyle, I do agree with you, but the thing that scares me partially is that Golden State also does not have a marquee win. They've lost to Houston by 1 and Boston by 4. So they may be thinking, we haven't done well, we haven't exceeded in these really standout games, and they may be trying to strike fear, regain their kingdom, per se, because they are also at home. So you know they're going to be wanting to get that win in front of their fans.
Right.
Yep. Oh, and one more point. The cool thing about this game with LeBron and KD is with IT and Derrick Rose out and Steph out for the Warriors, LeBron has been, you know, like playing the point guard position. And KD has been doing a really, really good job at playing like the point guard position for the Warriors. So that's going to be really cool to see.
Both of them literally going straight up at each other.
Yeah, that's going to be sweet.
Battle of the point guards. Right.
So that's all we got for our first topic. Tell us what you think about that in the comments also. And for our second one, we're going to be talking about how many Cavs we think should be All-Stars this season. I think I'll go ahead and kick it off, and I'm going with two. And the reason I'm saying that is because Isaiah Thomas will have a late return, and I think playing only about 15 games, 20 games may hurt his chances. I also think that LBJ is obviously an All-Star. Like that, yeah, he's the MVP.
For sure.
And the GOAT. But
just had to put that in there.
Yeah. Love is also putting up 0.5 more points per game, and he's shooting better from the field. And he was an All-Star last year. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to add him in there. And to add on to all this, the East has got worse.
Yeah.
Millsap left, Butler left, George left.
Yep.
That's some talent. And even Carmelo was in there because Love was hurt and he left.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about four All-Stars. So even though those four left, I still don't think you really are able to add anybody that scores less than 16 points a game. And there's not even a Cav close to 16 besides Love and James.
Yeah.
The closest is Wade at 11.4. So, in my opinion, unless Thomas comes back and absolutely obliterates, I'm talking about like 28-7, which would be crazy alongside LeBron, I'm saying two. And I think we may be in agreement with two.
I completely agree with you. LeBron obviously is having one of the best years of his career. Love, obviously, is having the best season as a Cav. He's getting to the free throw line a lot, and he's playing tremendous at the center position. He's able to get those elbow touches, become more aggressive. He's shooting 40% from three. And you're right with the IT. I don't think he has enough time to prove he's an all-star, but we all know he is. But just the timing of him coming back, I don't think he'll be able to make it.
Yeah, I would have to agree with LeBron. Obviously, there's no way he's not going to be an all-star. With IT, I think it's the same deal with that we had with Kyrie a couple years ago when he came back and he was doing all right, but
yeah,
it was just he came back too late and there's no way he's going to be an all-star. And I would love to say that Love's going to be an all-star, and I do believe he will. I just think it's a little iffy this year because I do think he should be personally, but with Giannis playing well and Kristaps being the leader of the Knicks and Joel Embiid playing as well as he's been playing, I'm just not completely sure. His numbers are up, and he's shooting better than he ever has in Cleveland, and he's actually shooting his second best from three, I think, at 40%.
He's shooting his first career best. 41.7.
Yeah, so it's his second best from second career best from three, a career best from two at 52%, and I think it's also his second best from the field at 47.4. So he's being very efficient and playing less minutes. So.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I can't see Love not being an all-star. There's been a lot of young talent, like you said, but I still think he gets in.
And also, I hope you comment on that. If you're interested, we're glad to listen and read your opinions on whatever you're feeling about how many all-stars we should have. I think two is obviously the almost the unanimous result.
Yeah.
And from there, we've cleared both our hot topics. And also, if you have any hot topics, go ahead and send those in. You can get us on Facebook or Twitter. And aside from that, we're going to go on to our segment, our Would You Rather segment. It's a nice little fun game. You may have played it at a party or done something stupid by it, but we're going to relate it to Cavs and how we can – dang, I really screwed that up. All right, mark that time. I'm sorry.
You're good, bro. Let's get it.
All right, so now we're going to enter our Would You Rather segment, and we're going to have three Would You Rather questions. And feel free to answer these in the comments below. But we're going to kick it off with, would you rather see Houston or Golden State in the finals, and why? I would rather see Golden State because they're familiar. You know how to play them. And honestly, we've beat them in the past. We're not very good versus Houston. We lost to them this year. And they are dynamic, and we have struggled to guard the three. We've struggled to play defense, and I'm not seeing us beating I'm not sure we beat either, but I think we can relate to Golden State better. And they obviously seem to be getting injured.
Yes, yes.
They obviously seem to be – the shield is being hit.
Yes.
Like, they're – yeah, the fortress is coming down.
You got
they're
Steph,
finally getting injured.
Steph, Draymond. Zaza,
and that's huge.
Iggy's out. Sean Livingston's out, as of today at least. Yeah, they have been getting hit with a little bit of an injury bug. I'll go ahead and tell you my answer. I will have to disagree with you, Nathan. I would rather see the Rockets.
I do feel like mine was a hot take.
I don't think, no, because they're both incredibly, like, good. You know, they're playing incredible basketball right now. The Rockets are number one in the West. Warriors are like a game and a half behind. It's not that much of a difference. I say the Rockets solely because, one, they have a worse bench. Two, I don't think they're as lethal as the Warriors. Come playoff time, Durant amps it up, Steph amps it up, Klay amps it up. Well, actually, Klay, he struggles in the playoffs sometimes, but and then I think we match up better with the Rockets, to be honest with you. We have a really versatile lineup, and I don't know. I can't get over the whole Warriors thing. I'm tired of losing to them. But then again, if I could understand if you would rather see the Warriors because of like the revenge factor, you know what I mean? So I don't totally disagree with your opinion, but I'd say the Rockets.
I'm actually I agree with Jared on this one, and this is not like a brother thing. I just basketball wise, I agree with Jared on that point. Golden State just has way too many weapons.
Yeah.
Like, you got Klay, Steph, KD, and Draymond, and their bench is a lot better than the Rockets. And I think that though Houston is designed and built to beat Golden State, I think we're better suited to handle Houston, like Jared said.
Well, this is the thing. I have another thing to add. This isn't like exactly accurate, a lack of a better term, but playing in Oracle Arena, those fans give so much energy to that team. I would rather play against the Rockets at home than
to
the
be
Warriors
fair.
At home.
I kind of feel like that's any playoff NBA team.
I know,
because it's the same at Quicken Loans. You get behind your home team. I understand where you're coming from, but I kind of feel like that's almost a universal thing.
I don't know. Oracle just seems different, man. Like, when you hear their fans, after Steph, Klay, or KD, whoever hits a three, they go crazy. It feels like they just scored 15 points in a row.
Yep, I agree. But you're right, Nathan. That's playoff basketball, but Oracle Arena is a tough place to play.
All right. So our second would you rather question is, would you rather have Derrick Rose or Jose Calderon on your second unit, alongside Dwayne Wade, Jeff Green, Channing Frye, Kyle Korver, Tristan Thompson, a combination of those five, plus who's your point guard, guys?
Kyle, go ahead.
It's got to be Jose. He just fits better. He fits so much better in that system because he can actually space the floor. He doesn't need to have the ball. Dwayne Wade can keep having the ball, and he can play make for others. Jose can still, like I said, space the floor, and he doesn't take up as much of the usage rating as Derrick Rose does.
I can't be convinced. I can't be convinced that Jose Calderon's better. I mean, I know he's not better, but fit-wise, he may be better. Talent-wise, D. Rose, obviously.
Oh, I'm not saying that Derrick Rose is less
talented. I can't be convinced that Jose Calderon is a better fit for the second unit. I got to go D. Rose. He's more dangerous. He's more athletic, you know. He can finish around the rim. Jose, I have to give it to Jose. He's been playing really well. He's very smart. He has been playing pretty solid defense. He has a high IQ. You know, he's a good decision maker. But Rose, when he was playing at the beginning of the season, he was already battling injuries. Either way, in my mind, it's a win-win. I love both of them. Jose has been playing amazing. I love Derrick Rose and what he brings to the Cavs. And I just say Derrick Rose on the second unit just makes it that much more dangerous.
All right. I think Kyle must be tripping over there. Because, I mean, Jose Calderon has been great. Don't get me wrong. But we're talking about Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Before he went down, 14.3 points per game. I know he turns the ball over. I know he doesn't play well all the time. But we're talking Jose Calderon. He's playing well, but I don't think his efficiency will keep up. And I think it takes someone special to play poorly when you're playing with LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like, just that's my thing is, I know you're putting him with Dwayne Wade, but I just don't think the units are the same. Like, the first unit, their defense is, I feel like, much better. And I don't know. I just don't see Jose Calderon being a better fit. Even though the only thing he does have is he's a good three-point shooter, which would help. And for some reason, he's been playing really smart.
He's always been like that.
Yeah, I haven't really watched him before this season because not really a huge need to.
I mean, here's how I think about it. Yeah. If Derrick Rose is not going to pass the ball to LeBron or Kevin Love or J.R. Smith, who's spacing the floor for him in the corners for wide-open threes, what makes you think he's going to pass the ball to Kyle Korver open in the corner?
Well,
or Channing Frye open in the corner?
There's no question he has to work on his decision-making, but if I'm Game 7 of the NBA Finals and I have to choose who's my starting point guard for the second unit over or between Derrick Rose and Jose Calderon, you got to go Derrick Rose. You got to.
All right, I do understand that. And with that, we're going to go to our third question, which is almost a hypothetical trade question. And it's, would you rather have DeAndre Jordan or Tristan Thompson, Iman Shumpert, and our first-round pick? And that was either our first-round pick or the Brooklyn first-round pick was the package that Steve Kyler from Basketball Insider suggested that the Cavaliers are putting together for Jordan. And I feel like that's definitely a very hot topic and something that needs to be discussed. So what would you guys do? If you're Kobe Altman, what's the call? You're doing it or you're not?
What was the trade? Double T, Shump, and our first pick?
Would you do double? Does the first round pick make it acceptable? That too.
Is it the Brooklyn pick or our late pick?
If it is the Brooklyn pick, is it a no-go? And then if it is our pick, is it a make the trade?
If it's the Brooklyn pick, it's a no-go.
Is the difference in the pick what decides the trade?
Yeah, I actually think it. I think it is because if it's our pick combined with Double T and Shump, I say go for it.
So you're doing the trade if it's our pick?
Yes. Now if it's the Brooklyn pick, I'm more hesitant.
Kyle, you're doing the trade if it's our pick too, right?
Absolutely.
See, I honestly don't like the trade either way.
Oh, I don't either, but if I have to choose.
I could see why, because if we bring in DeAndre, then Kevin Love's got to go back to the four, and then Crowder's got to go to the bench.
You're literally just messing up the rhythm that has made us win 18 of our last 20.
Yeah, I can see why. But I don't
know. You're smacking that $24 million contract. And you're just going to lose him this offseason anyway, unless he resigns and he would want a max.
Double T and Shump, they combine for more than Jordan's contract.
Yeah, they're making a lot of money. And Shumpert has been injury prone like hell.
But you also have to – Shumpert is also in a career – or expiring contract year.
I think Jordan's got a player option, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And I don't think he'll take it because I think some team – if some team can max out Harrison Barnes – some team can max out DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, but I say if we get an offer from the Clippers and all they want is Double T, Shump, and an hour first round pick, I say you gotta pull the trigger. You got to. All
right, I do understand that.
Yeah.
All right. With that said, those are our three would you rather questions, and we're gonna partially end it on a mailbag. We have four questions. I believe all four were from Facebook. One was from Biggs Party. He asked, who would you say is the biggest threat to the East, in the East?
I think that's an easy one, and it's got to be Boston. They've been playing really well, even without Gordon Hayward. They're 10th in the NBA with the offensive rating. They're first in the NBA defensive rating, and their competition would be Wizards, Raptors. I think they're deeper than both of those teams. And Brad Stevens as a coach, you can't say anything bad about him. He's tremendous. So I got to go with Boston.
I'm going to say Boston. I'm going to start off by saying that. But Milwaukee and Indiana also scare me.
I could see Milwaukee. I forgot to mention them.
I mean, Boston, like you said, Boston's a great team, great coach, and they are predicated on defense. But I know that nobody they have can match LeBron. And I also know that Kevin Love dominates Al Horford in the playoffs. Milwaukee scares me because they're long and athletic.
You just like Kevin Love.
No, I'm serious. Like, looking at the stats, Kevin Love averages
anytime
21 and 13 against
them. Kevin Love.
No, but that's why they don't scare me though, like as much. I mean, they're a great team, and they have a great coach, and they are predicated on defense. But IT and Kyrie match each other. Nobody can stop LeBron. And Kevin Love dominates Al Horford.
All right, I also agree with that. I think it's Boston. Bucks are a close second. Wizards are a distant third. Then Pacers.
Raptors.
You can even run it down with Raptors. And our second question of the night is by Sam Baum. He asked, is Isaiah Thomas going to make the Cavs the NBA's best team, and how will they address his lacking defense?
I don't see IT making us the best team because in my eyes, and I know this sucks to say, I hate saying it, but Golden State is still the best team in the NBA. I think he does make us better than last year because he is more of a playmaker than Kyrie was. But you got to think, Kyrie was also a bad defender, and Rose and Calderon aren't great defenders either. I don't think it's going to mess up our defense that much because the way we play, it's all based off of switching and covering for other people's men, and the rotations, they're complicated, and sometimes we get caught, but you just plug IT in and I think it's fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Warriors are the reigning champs. You can't say. You got to give them the title of the best team in the league. However, I do think IT will make us the second best if we're not already. It's either us or Houston, but he'll add elite scoring, playmaking. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's always motivated. And like what Kyle said, it's not like Rose or Calderon is that much better at defense. The Cavs are 28th in defense. You know, we gotta fix that. I get it, but I don't think Isaiah Thomas is gonna make it that much worse on the defensive end.
I do second both years, and I don't think I have much to add to that. Yeah. Warriors still obviously best for the top 30 players in the league.
Yeah,
can't beat it. As talent wise, we do still have LeBron James. When it comes to the finals, anything can happen. But when you're just considering who's the best, kind of have to go Warriors.
Yeah.
And our third and fourth question are by someone named Chai Chai Miss Neil.
Hey.
Don't know if that's the real name, but we'll figure it out.
What up?
Why can't the Cavs get a better center? Well, that is because we do not want to trade for a better center. But I think the more the question is, should they trade for a better center? Is it worth their while? And I think we kind of already covered something like that. But say you can get, let's just say a hypothetical something. Say you can get Dwight Howard for our first round pick and Thompson. Do you do it? Because he's having a monster comeback here.
He is. That would be a very intriguing trade.
And I'm not saying it will ever happen, and it's not even ever being considered, but it's something like that. Or like, could you trade Valanciunas for TT and 2 second round picks or something?
Yeah, I get. I don't know. That's tough. But back to the center question, the original question, we have the ability to. It's just right now Love is doing a pretty darn good job at the five. You know, he's playing pretty good defense. He's getting his buckets, grabbing the boards. It's just, yeah, like what you said, the fact that we may not want to trade for a better center, but we do have the ability to.
All right, Kyle, I know you over there want to put in your plug for Love, so what you got?
we've had a lot of options to trade. Like, there's a lot of options out there to trade for centers. I mean, you got Gasol, who has been on the trade block. You got DeAndre. They've just talked about it a few times, and he's even said if they want to trade me, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. I'm okay with it.
Right.
And then you got DeAndre. They're going to blow that team up, I'm pretty sure, because Blake's hurt and their season
is
basically over.
Just plugging it in, I wish they could have blown it up and given us Beverly.
That would have been wonderful.
Too bad he's out. That sucks.
Here's my shameless plug on Love. He is playing great ball right now. At the center position. But also, if you think about the past, like last year, the Cavs, they could be waiting to get a center cheap or till buyout season. I mean, we did that with Bogut, and he could have been great for our team until he got hurt. So we still could get a great center that could be a part of our rotation.
Not great, solid.
Shameless plug, I was at that game when Bogut went down.
I was also there. Yeah.
Didn't, if I remember right, Deion Waiters destroyed us in the first half?
Demolished us. It was
like 22 points or something? Something crazy?
Terrible. He loves going off against the Cavs.
All right, second question after that is, shouldn't IT play two games before debuting? He should, or before debuting against the Warriors? He should, but regardless, we don't think he's going to play against the Warriors. I take it you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, if he decides to play against the Warriors, then he's going to –
I would honestly like to see him play a couple games before he takes on Boston, because that's going to be an emotional game, and you don't want that to be his first game where he just gets hammered with one of the most emotional games he would ever have.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. I hope he plays against Boston. Oh my gosh.
And like you said, even if he is ready to play, he'd be on a minutes restriction anyway, so it's not like he'd play the whole Golden State game regardless. And, I mean, even though it's a quote-unquote big game for the Cavs, there's no need to rush him back right now.
Well, I think the Cavs, I think they'll play him against a team that's not as good as, you know, Boston or Golden State, but we'll see.
All right, with that said, we're going to move on to our last thing, and that is our 21 Shum Street pick of the week. We have the Warriors, I believe, on Thursday, the Bulls on Thursday, the Warriors on Monday, and then I don't know when the Kings is, but I did have noted there are no back-to-back, so that shouldn't influence it. So what are you boys going? What order?
I got a W against the Bulls, but that game scares me because the Cavs do have a tendency to slip up against teams that aren't as good as them.
They play down to their competition.
They fall behind early and then they got to dig themselves out. But I think we got a W. I'll save the Warriors one for last. The Kings, that one's tough for me too. Just because the Cavs, I'm not going to say they like to, because obviously they don't like to, but they do it so often that whenever we play a team that's not as good as us, it's not a 100% guaranteed win. But I do have us beating the Kings. They do have the number one ranked bench in the league, so that'll be fun to watch. And then finally, the Warriors. I have the Cavs beating the Warriors solely because Steph doesn't play. I think he's too valuable. Now, the Warriors have been playing really, really good basketball without him, but they haven't been playing, you know, that good of competition. So I think we go in there Christmas Day, we come out with a dub.
All right, Kyle, what you saying?
I'm going to say the exact same thing. W against the Bulls, just because we lost this past game. So I think they're going to try to come back with a good W. And against the Warriors, I think they're just going to make it a statement game. Like, even though Steph is out, like, they're still going to try to beat him pretty handily. And then I think they'll probably keep up that streak against the Kings.
Yeah.
All right, I think I'm going opposite. I think we all know what I'm going to do, and the only opposite thing that we could do here. I'm going win, loss, win.
Yeah.
Lose Christmas Day. We'll see. And for the all-time streak is we didn't actually air the episode that we recorded last week, but me and Jared were 3-1, while Kyle was 2-2. He said that the Cavs would beat the Bucks and that the Wizards would beat the Cavs, and he missed both of those. Then that is, that's all we got for our inaugural podcast. It's Nathan Beatley with the Heskis Brothers, and I hope you enjoyed it. Come back next week. Thursday mornings are when the podcast and the posts on King James Gospel are going to be dropping. Thanks for listening.